Turn your Bible with me, please. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. I received by email a story written by an observer at an airport. This observer said, "I overheard a father and daughter in their last moments together. Her departure had been announced. They hugged and he said, 'I love you. I wish you enough.' She said, 'Daddy, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed. I wish you enough too, Daddy.' They kissed and she left. He walked over toward the window where I was seated. Standing there, I could see he wanted and needed to cry, and I tried not to intrude on his privacy. But he welcomed me in by asking, 'Did you ever say goodbye to someone knowing it would be forever?' 'Yes, I have,' I replied. Saying that brought back memories I had of expressing my love and appreciation for all my dad had done for me. Recognizing his days were limited, I took the time to tell him face to face how much he meant to me. So I knew what this man was experiencing. 'Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye?' I asked. 'I'm old and she lives much too far away. I have challenges ahead. And the reality is the next trip back will be for my funeral,' he said. 'When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, "I wish you enough." May I ask what that means?' I'll share that with you in a few moments. Would you notice with me Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall, say it, bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord, say it, bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they, apparently when they do this, shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." I want to speak to you today on the subject, understanding the blessing. Or how to give the blessing to those around you, or how a father can bless his children. If you'll listen carefully this morning, please pay attention. I'm going to try to explain to you what the blessing is, why it is important, how to give it, who is to give it, to whom you should give it, when to give it, and what happens if you do not give the blessing. Notice, first of all, what the blessing is. I'm amazed at how big this subject is in the Bible compared to how little I've preached on it. 463 times the word bless, blessed, blessing, or blesseth occurs in the Bible. Now, remember the law of first mention, that the first time a word occurs in the Bible, it is a key to understanding that truth throughout the rest of the Bible. And the first time the word bless occurs is in the creation week in Genesis chapter 1. On the fifth day, just after God created living creatures, verse 22 of chapter 1 says, "And God blessed them," the animals, "saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth.'" The second time the word bless occurs is in verse 28. After God created Adam and Eve, we read, "And God blessed them." The very first thing God did with the man that he created was to bless him and the woman. "And God said unto them," notice God blessed them, "and God said unto them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.'" Notice that the blessing involved God speaking, and it also involved multiplication and fruitfulness of life. The prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And that thou wouldest," how would he know if he was blessed? "Thou wouldest enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Now, the main Greek word in the New Testament translated bless is eulogeo. It means to speak good or well of. That word occurs 41 times, and the first time is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "Bless them that curse you." Now, to curse is the opposite of to bless. It means to speak evil of. What is to be our response when we are cursed or reviled? We are to bless or speak good back. The second time the word bless occurs in the New Testament is in Matthew 14, 19, where Jesus fed the multitude. He blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes before He gave them to His disciples to distribute to the crowd there. The blessing again was spoken words. And it involved multiplication that blessed many others. In Mark chapter 10, mothers brought their children and infants to Jesus. Verse 16 says, "And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them." Notice there that the blessing included both words and a proper touch of love. In Genesis chapter 48, Jacob blessed his grandsons by placing his hands on their heads and saying these words. Verse 16, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Again, spoken words, touch, and a blessing of multiplication and fruitfulness. And did you notice our text? Look at it again. In fact, would you say it with me, please, beginning with verse 24. Say it out loud together, please. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Now, what is a blessing? Notice verse 27, "They shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." To bless is to speak good words to someone in the name of the Lord while properly touching them, if possible or appropriate. Let me say it again. To bless is to speak good words to someone in the name of the Lord while properly touching them, if possible or appropriate. My opening story, the father at the airport had been overheard saying to his daughter, "I wish you enough." He was asked, "What does that mean?" He began to smile. He said, "That's a wish that has been handed down from other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone, 'I wish you enough.'" He paused for a moment and looked up as if trying to remember it in detail. He smiled even more. He said, When we said, "I wish you enough," we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with just enough good things to sustain them. And then turning toward me, he shared the following as if he were reciting it from memory. "I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys in life appear bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye." He began to sob and walked away. That's a wonderful story and would have been complete as a blessing had he added this: "I wish you the presence of the Lord in all your trials and the wisdom of God to know what to do with them." What is the blessing? It is encouragement. It is acceptance. It is praise. But it is more than that. It is envisioning or seeing what God wants to do in this person's life. Watch me. Praise is sincere appreciation for character qualities a person is allowing God to develop in his life right now. A blessing may include praise, but goes beyond the present to encourage something special for the future. A blessing says, God is going to do something wonderful with your life. A blessing says, I'm excited about what God has planned for your life. Your life is going to be a fruitful life that blesses and touches many people. A father's blessing is the thing that makes a child feel special and realize that he or she has a wonderful future. A father's rejection in any form is perhaps the most horrible thing that can happen in anyone's life. It'd be difficult to think of hardly anything normal that could happen, anything that could happen in everyday life, any more horrible than the rejection of a father instead of the blessing of a father. The story in Judges 6 of Gideon is a story of a man filled with fear. Gideon is seen hiding while threshing wheat so that the Midianites can't find him. He thinks of himself as not only poor, but as the least important person in his family. Not only that, but Gideon's father had an altar to Baal surrounded by a grove of trees where the men of the city would go to worship. The greeting that the angel of the Lord gave Gideon was really a blessing that envisioned what God wanted to do through Gideon's life in the future. Judges 6:12 reads, And the angel said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Wait a minute, this is a guy hiding, threshing wheat. Verse 14 continues, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. Here is a fearful nobody. And the angel says, The Lord is with thee, mighty man of valor. Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel. Parents, far too often we underestimate the potential of our children. What was Gideon's might that the angel saw anyway? It was the strength of the Lord combined with Gideon's awareness of his own weakness. Remember that 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The angel's blessing came to pass when Gideon, probably partly because he was blessed, tore down the altar to Baal, chopped down the grove of trees, then bravely built an altar to the Lord and used the wood from the trees to offer a burnt sacrifice. Later on, Gideon started out with an army of 32,000 men, which God had him whittled down in size. You remember the story, those who lapped, those who didn't. God had him whittle it down to 10,000, then to 300. And Gideon led that little handful of men to defeat a Midianite army of 135,000 soldiers. And all of that, the tearing down of the altar, the destroying of the grove, the victory of the Midianite, Gideon's victory was really all built on that blessing that the angel gave him. Are y'all getting this? You see what I'm saying? You see how powerful this blessing was in his life? Now, first of all, what is the blessing? Secondly, my next question is, why is the blessing important? And the answer is this, because of the extraordinary power of spoken words. Just a few weeks ago, I preached an entire message with that statement as its title, The Extraordinary Power of Spoken Words. Listen to me, I dare say that the greatest trouble you've ever known, the greatest worry you've ever had, the greatest fear you've ever experienced may have come because of the power of words. And I would also dare to say that the greatest joy you've ever known, the greatest comfort you've ever had, the greatest character quality you've ever developed, the greatest accomplishment you've ever experienced may have come about because of the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 says, Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death is initiated by cursing, saying negative words. Life is initiated by blessing, saying positive words. Life is in the power of the tongue, giving a blessing. A man gave the following testimony. He said, When I was a boy, I tried to witness to a friend during a boat ride. The next week, my father heard about it and later said to me, Billy, you're a real little soul winner. I still remember the impact that made on my life. I felt unworthy of the title because I didn't lead the boy to Christ, but I remember thinking to myself, if I keep growing in the Lord, maybe one day I'll be worthy of such a title. That man has become one of the greatest soul winners to ever live, who has won thousands of people to Christ. In 1875, the great evangelist D.L. Moody was in London, England for a crusade. His singer Ira Sankey was with him, and a camp of gypsies were in a nearby forest, but were not allowed to come to the meetings because of their reputation for being pickpockets. When Moody heard about that, he decided that he would go out and preach to them, and Ira Sankey went along. And one of the greatest things to happen that day did not happen in the service. It happened afterwards. It was not something Moody did. It was something Sankey did. It was not a song. It was not a message. It was a one-sentence blessing. A group of gypsy boys had gathered around the buggy that was ready to take Moody and Sankey back to London. Sankey looked over and saw a little gypsy boy next to the buggy, put his hand on his head and spoke these words. Notice the words and the touch. And spoke these words, "The Lord make a preacher of you, my boy." What's the likelihood that a very poor gypsy boy would become a nationally known evangelist? But that little boy became the great evangelist Gypsy Smith, who preached to my grandmother Eula Berry in Spartanburg, South Carolina in the 1930s. She told me about it several times. She told me about what he said when he preached. His life, watch this. Ira Sankey touched Gypsy Smith, who touched my grandmother, who touched me. And before his death, Ira Sankey was amazed to hear Gypsy Smith come to him one day, tell him the story, say, "Do you remember being out there in Epping Forest? And do you remember putting your hand on the head of a gypsy boy and say, 'God make of you a preacher, my son'?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And Gypsy Smith looked at Ira Sankey and said, "I'm the boy that you touched and blessed." Words are so powerful that God would not allow Balaam to curse Israel, even though Balak was trying to pay him and promote him to do so. Balaam was clearly constrained by God to only bless Israel. In fact, Balaam should have never even tried to go with Balak's men to see if he could curse Israel. When he did try to go with Balak's men to curse Israel, the Lord sent an angel, you remember the story, with a drawn sword. And Balaam's donkey saw the angel and refused to go forward, wandered out of the way, then banged Balaam's leg up against the path that was enclosed. And then when Balaam kept trying to push, the donkey just sat right down on Balaam's leg. And Balaam begins to hit the donkey and scream at the donkey, and the donkey looked at him, and God opened the donkey's mouth and said, "Did I ever do this before? Hadn't I always been a good donkey? What are you hitting me and cursing me for? Come on," I'm paraphrasing there. And God opened Balaam's eyes and looked up and saw the angel with the drawn sword. The donkey had more sense than Balaam had. The donkey knew you don't curse the people God has made. You bless them. I've heard some adults talking to children. They were really cursing their children. I wonder if they would say those words if God sent an angel with a drawn sword to stand between them and that other person and say, "You don't bless that child, you don't curse that child, you bless that child." What happens when you say to a child, "You idiot, you're going to be just like your friend"? What happens when you say to a child, "You dummy, you won't amount to anything. Here, stupid, let me do that. You crazy kid, get out of my way and leave me alone." You have done to a child what Balak tried to pay Balaam to do, but couldn't get done because God wouldn't let him. What happens when you say to a child, God must have something really special for your life? Hey, I wonder who God has for you to marry. You know, if God plans for you to marry, I guarantee you he or she is a really special person. Wasn't it wonderful that God let you be in our home and be my little girl? I wonder why God put you in the world. He must have had some really special reason for your life, don't you think? I appreciate you. Did you know that? I love you. I believe your life is going to touch many other people's lives. Why should you bless others? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. I read about a single mother whose rebellious teenage son not only tested her patience to the limits, but also kept the whole rest of the family, the rest of the children in the home, all stirred up, problems all the time, bickering all the time. And then she learned about the power of blessing someone. And one day in the middle of a sibling battle, she said to her son, she walked right over and said, I want to give you a blessing. She had planned what she needed to say and said these words, Oh, Father, would you bless my son right now with wisdom and understanding and kindness and compassion? Would you cause him to know your love and your peace and your joy in the name of Jesus? The boy was startled. And within a few weeks, both the attitude of the boy and the atmosphere of the home had completely changed. I'm already into my third question. How do you give the blessing? Follow me carefully. You say it out loud. You say it with a touch when possible. You say it unconditionally. And sometimes it should be done publicly. You say it out loud. You bless with your voice. You do it with a touch when possible. You say it unconditionally. It doesn't matter what the child has done or doesn't do. And sometimes it should be done publicly. There are blessings in the Bible that are conditional. If you want the windows of heaven to be open and a blessing poured out so great you can't receive it, you're going to have to tithe. Read the book of Malachi. But the blessing of number 6 and other blessings in the Bible, that blessing we just read a while ago, those are unconditional blessings. It didn't matter whether people deserved them or not. Those children Jesus blessed, the story recorded in most of the Gospels, those children didn't do anything to get blessed. When Paul wrote the carnal, worldly church at Corinth, he began his letter, check it out, with 9 verses of blessing. In verse 3, he says, Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on from there. The nation of Israel was a long way from what they should have been in Numbers chapter 23. But when Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, Balaam said, Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Listen to me. There are no cursed children in this world. They are all blessed and loved by God. And even if your parents cursed you instead of blessing you, they cannot reverse what God has done. God has planned blessing for your life. One of the most beautiful pictures of the blessing in the entire Bible is in Matthew chapter 4 at the baptism of Jesus. You remember those 4 parts to the blessing? Out loud, with a touch, unconditionally, sometimes publicly. Listen to Matthew 4, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. It looks like both heaven and earth are watching on. Here comes the touch. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I love that. Now, wait a minute. What sermon has Jesus preached at this point? What miracle has Jesus performed up to this point? This was an unconditional blessing. Don't think me disrespectful here, but could I bring the Heavenly Father's words over into the 21st century and tell you what He was saying when He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"? He was saying, "That's my boy. He doesn't have to do a thing. I'm pleased with him because he's my boy." Fathers, there are times we ought to say, "That's my boy. He doesn't have to do a thing for me to be pleased with him. He's my boy." Dads, say to your sons, "I'm glad God let you be my son. There's not another boy anywhere I'd trade for you. In fact, I wouldn't trade another dozen for you." Say to your daughters, "God sure was good to pick you out for us. I'm so glad you're my daughter. If I didn't have a daughter just like you, I'd wish I did." Say it. And say it with a touch. A 16-year-old firstborn writes in the book, The Power of Spoken Blessings, how her father blessed her and her sisters. Listen to this. Everybody still awake? Say amen. He sits us in a circle and puts his hand on ours and prays a blessing individually on each of my sisters, my mother, and me. He asks God to give me strength and wisdom because I'm a leader. He prays that I'll lead my younger siblings in the right direction along with the children and teenagers in our church. He then prays a blessing on my sister who is 14, that she won't follow the wrong crowd and that she would always have a sweet spirit. He prays that my 11-year-old sister will follow the right crowd and she'll be sweet to her older sisters. He prays that we'll always have a servant spirit, willing to help out in any area of the home and the church. Every time my father gets through blessing us, the most amazing thing happens. My sisters and I don't quarrel anymore. My 11-year-old sister will hug me and tell me she loves me, and I do the same to her. Before being blessed, we would never do that. My sisters and I are getting closer and closer, and our family devotions have more meaning than ever. Several months ago, Brother Bass stood with his son on this platform and said these words, and I'm reading a portion of them. "Daniel, as I've often told you personally, I now publicly acknowledge I would not have wanted the Lord to have made you any different, nor could He have made you any finer than He did. Praise the Lord for giving you to our family as a son and brother. I pledge to you not only my love, but also my commitment to exert any amount of time and the resources God provides us to help you succeed in fulfilling God's plan and will for your life. Daniel, my son, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. O Lord, may Daniel never forget Thy word. May He hide it in his heart that he might not sin against Thee. With his whole heart may he seek Thee. May You prosper him in all that he does. And may he keep himself chaste for his future wife and likewise she for him. May his future children rise up and call him blessed. And may life, honor, and glory be given to You, our Savior and Lord, through Daniel's life." Notice the blessing for fruitfulness and multiplication of life. And notice the spoken words of blessing. Notice the touch that took place. Notice that it was unconditional. And notice that it was public. One of the first blessings God gives a child is when they give him his name. Do you realize that when you choose the name you choose for your child, you're choosing a name to bless him with? The family that was on the platform here a while ago named their son Creed Jacob. The meaning is the one who takes tight hold on the truths of God's Word, understands them, and spreads them. Now, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Because the meaning of Abraham was part of God's blessing on Abraham's life. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, Jacob said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me." And Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Prince of God or Ruler for God. One of the ways you can bless a child regularly is to regularly remind him of the meaning of his name. Andy Jones. May you fulfill the meaning of your name. Andrew means manly. James means to grab hold of. May you fulfill the meaning of your name. This is something your dad. Dad, are you listening back there? This is something your dad ought to do on a regular basis. Andy, may you be the one who through manly spiritual courage grabs hold of false philosophies and replaces them with God's truth. Micah, Leslie, Wilkins. Micah means like unto the Lord. Leslie means from the gray fort. May you be the one who is like the Lord in providing shelter and protection for those under your care. Where's Chuck at? Chuck, that's the kind of thing you can do for Micah on a regular basis. Ezekiel Metters. I'm looking for Zeke. Where is he? They're here somewhere. The one whose life flourishes with character and integrity because he trusts not in his own strength but in the unfailing strength of God. Caleb Retzer. I see Lisa back there. Is Caleb back there? Caleb, this is what his dad ought to say to him all the time. Caleb, may you be the one whose spiritual boldness enables you to overcome the world, the flesh and the devil in order to live in true spiritual victory. Stephen Andrew Wagner. May you be the one who is crowned with respect and honor because of your godly manliness that is genuinely humble and graciously self-denying. Garrett, Jonathan, Isaac, Hopkins. Garrett in here? You can say to him, may you be the one who receives the grace of God to bravely and boldly stand for God's truth with a cheerful attitude and countenance. Desiree, Nicole, Wagner. May you be the one sought by God to be an example to others of a spiritual overcomer. Brittany, Olivia, Brooks. May you be the one whose life is filled with spiritual fruit because of your willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to produce in you the character of Jesus Christ. Let me have my grandchildren come on up here. Parents can come with them too if they want to. Shelby Lynn Rogers. May you be the one who allows Jesus, the water of life, to flow freely through your life to encourage and protect those around you. Elizabeth Lynn Parrott. May you be the one whose unquestioning trust in the promises of God allows you to draw upon and share freely with others Jesus, the water of life. Parents, learn the meanings of your child's name and regularly bless them with the meanings of their names. I didn't realize it until I was studying this message, that the songs that we wrote for our grandchildren right after they were born, now Joshua and Judah, they'd already been here for a little while, and their songs aren't really quite as good as the other children's songs, but it was their first ones. We were learning on them. We were actually just playing around with it, but I've chosen not to change their songs because I still like them. They still carry some powerful meaning to them. And they were, these songs that we wrote for them right after they were born are really songs with words of blessing. The songs were based on the meanings of their names and also the things that we wanted to see God develop in their lives. We sing these songs to the children all the time. Listen. Listen to the words of their songs. I'm not going to sing them all to you, but I'm going to sing a little bit of each one. And notice how the words that we sing to them. I didn't even realize this until I was preparing this message. These words are words of encouragement, envisioning, multiplication, and fruitfulness. Joshua Mark Williams defends God's truth, not ashamed to stand alone. He's swift and sure with his trusty sword, not ashamed to stand alone. With a deep thought here and a clear thought there, concentrate, meditate, anything but aggravate. Joshua Mark Williams defends God's truth, not ashamed to stand alone. Caleb Andrew Williams with a holy boldness fights against the evil that prevails in our midst. With the manly courage that amazes the proud, humbly standing firmly. He won't follow the crowd. He sees a mountain ahead. There comes a stir in his heart. He's sold out to God. It truly sets him apart. The light in his eyes declares the joy in his soul. Determination fills him as he moves toward his goal. His fear of God gives wisdom and instills discretion. His lips cry out in praise to God for his salvation. The bright smile on his face declares the depth of God's grace. The fruit his life produces shows he's planted in his place. Daniel Ryan lives for Jesus Christ. Hers is not the fakeness of a life that's simply nice. She fears the Lord. He gives her wisdom. Humbly she builds his kingdom. David Emmanuel Williams radiates God's glorious love. The power in his life comes from his loving God above. All those around are thrilled to see that God could make one free. True faith to such a great degree in Jesus is the key. This David strives to be a man after God's own heart. He has decided from the world his life to set apart. No fear of man can conquer him. With Jesus he will stand. He reaches out to those in need and guides them to God's hand. Jonathan Samuel Williams is a gift of God who receives God's mighty grace. From a humble heart comes an inner motivation. He cries to God who gives him full salvation. Jonathan, God's gift of love from heaven. Jonathan has a vision to be a friend who leads his friends to Christ. In prayer to God, he takes his friends' petitions. God hears his cry for them and their conditions. Jonathan, God's gift of joy from heaven. Jonathan conquers anger. We boys and men need that kind of blessing. May you be one who conquers anger. His tender heart serves others with great joy. His fear of God produces noble chivalry. He rules his spirit, obeying instantly. Jonathan, God's gift of peace from heaven. The little boy with a big, big smile, Judah, Judah, it stretches down a country mile. Oh, Judah, how old. He praises God, defends his truth. Judah, Judah, he stands for God throughout his youth. Oh, Judah, how. Gonna stand for God and defend his truth. Gonna stand throughout his youth. Oh, Judah, how. You see how we're envisioning? We're blessing with a vision for the future. Janae Carolyn sings a happy song. Janae Carolyn sings the whole day long. Sings a happy melody. Her eyes, I'm too high. Her eyes and smile are full of glee. Her heart is one that Jesus has made free. We start out, will make free. Now she's been saved, we sing, has made free. God's ornament she wears so graciously. We're talking about the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Janae, God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, with His fruit doth bless. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Faith and meekness, temperance, are seen with much exuberance. Her life is real when seen at just a glance. God's ornament she's wearing is meekness. Lydia LaRae has a heart turned toward God. Deep and earnest prayer mark out the path she trods. Lydia LaRae knows Jesus as her friend. Time and time again on Him she does depend. Peace and purity from her spirit emanate, causing others to proclaim her God is great. Lydia is like her namesake from God's Word. When Paul and Silas preached God's truth, they gladly heard. Her home became a refuge for those mighty men, secure from a cursed world, their wounds could fully mend. Lydia serves others from an open heart. Her eyes and smile declare this is her art. Now what are we doing with all of this? We are simply envisioning. Every time we sing those songs to them, we are blessing their lives. I'll often get on the phone. I'll be off on a trip somewhere. I'll call back. One of them will answer. And Caleb will answer the telephone. And I'll say, "Is this Caleb Andrew Williams?" He'll say, "Yes, sir." I'll say, "Is this the Caleb Andrew Williams?" "Yes, sir." I'll say, "Is this the Caleb Andrew Williams who with a holy boldness fights against the evil that prevails in our midst, with a manly courage that amazes the proud, humbly standing firm that he won't follow the crowd? He sees a mountain ahead that comes to stir in his heart. He sold out to God and truly sets him apart. Is that this Caleb Andrew Williams?" He'll say, "Yes, sir, that's me." I'll say, "Wow. Can't believe I'm getting to talk to you." And you know what? Andrea told me this morning, Lydia's song, part of her song says that she loves Jesus and she's a friend of Jesus. And she said to me, she's starting to tell other people that, what'd you say? That, "Do you know God loves you and that Jesus is my friend?" See, where's she learning that? She's learning that. Thank you, guys. Give them a big hand putting up with their pawpaw, would you? Thank you, guys. Now, I know you may not write songs for your children or grandchildren, but all I'm saying is this. Find some way to regularly bless your children. If it's with the song that they sang up here a while ago, the men sang, "You dare to be a Daniel, dare to walk with God, dare..." I can't remember the words to it, but you know what I'm saying? Dare to have a purpose truth. Another way to bless someone is by paraphrasing Scripture and making it personal for that person's life. For instance, using Isaiah 11:2, you could bless someone by saying, "May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Fourth, who should give the blessing? Those instructed to bless the nation of Israel in number 6 were Aaron and his sons, the priests. Deuteronomy 10:8 says, "The Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bless in His name." 1 Chronicles 23:13, "The sons of Aaron were separated to bless in His name." When you come to the New Testament, you find in 1 Peter 2:9 that you and I as Christians are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Revelation 1:6 and 5:10, "Jesus hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father." Everyone who is saved is a priest who has a calling, get this, a calling from God to be blessers. How many here are saved? Let's see your hands. You are priests called of God to be blessers. God bless you. Say that. Everybody say it with me, would you please? God bless you. That ought to be some of the most common words spoken by the lips of every Christian here today. Number 5, to whom should you give the blessing? You should bless the Lord. We began by singing that song this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The phrase "bless the Lord" occurs 15 times in the Bible. Psalm 16:7, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Psalm 145, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee." Hey, we ought to bless our nation, including the lost. Very important truth. One of the ways God uses to turn nations and lost people to Himself is by the blessing of God's people. Not every person in Israel was saved when in Numbers chapter 6 here, God told Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel. I read an article where a man was questioning us saying or singing, "God bless America." He said, "Certainly I may say the words asking God to bless America, but can I pray them with a sincere expectation for God to do so? In the first place, is there an indication of any desire on the part of America as a nation to receive the blessing of God? Now, if that blessing were to come from Zeus, Apollo, Thor, Gaia, Mother Earth, the Earth Goddess, little green men from Mars, or giant purple women from Venus, then Americans might rush to accept it." What that brother has missed is part of the meaning of the word bless. Part of the meaning of the word bless is God, is you envisioning what God wants to do. Do we want this nation to be a nation that follows the Lord? Then we want to say, God bless America. You remember Numbers 6, 25 and 26? What happens when God makes His face shine upon someone or lifts His countenance upon someone? The light of God's glory and the presence of God exposes man's heart. And Romans 2, 4 says, the goodness of God, if they're blessed, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do not hesitate to say, God bless you, to lost neighbors or lost friends. In Genesis 47, 10, we're told how Jacob blessed Pharaoh, a man that we suppose was the heathen ruler of Egypt. And then bless those who curse you. Matthew 5, 44, Romans 12, 14, and 1 Peter 3, 9, all teach, bless those that curse you. Blessings defeat curses. Because blessings come from God, and God is more powerful than Satan. I read a story of where a lady had, as a young lady, been picked up and thrown across the room by her grandfather because she was a different color, because she was the result of immorality. And he cursed her and threw her across the room and despised her. And later on in life, she realized that she needed to bless him, and she never got freedom until she blessed the one who had cursed her in the name of the Lord. She put God's name on him. Fourth, bless your family members. Husbands, bless your wives. Wives, bless your husbands. Parents, bless your children. Children, bless your parents. There is no place where the potential for conflict is any greater than in the home. Can I get an amen there? Deliberate, thoughtful, daily blessings can halt angry words before they can get started. How are you going to bless and curse at the same time? You just can't hardly do it. So if you choose to bless, you're going to stop a lot of the cursings. And then fifth, bless somebody whose father didn't bless him or her, so they don't have to go through life without the blessing. When should you give the blessing? Number six, Psalm 34, 1 says, I bless the Lord at all times. Any time is a good time to give a blessing. But key events in life are especially important times. My dad and mom gave me a plaque years ago that is simply an engraved blessing. S.M. Davis, in appreciation of your faithfulness to Jesus and the joy you bring to our hearts, love, Mother and Daddy, 1980. That blesses me every day in my office. I think that was given me at Christmas, 1980. Sally Meredith gave the following testimony. She said, as we were taking our youngest daughter to college one year, we were listening to a tape about blessing. When it was over, I asked Tiffany if she would like us to bless her. With tears in her eyes, she said, I was hoping you'd do that for me. Parents, you got children wanting you to bless them. Get over your pride and just do it. My husband and I laid our hands on her shoulders. That day we blessed her for who she was to us, how she had graced our home, and what we wanted for her life. When we finished, all three of us were crying. Our blessing was this: your fun personality and sweet spirit have always been a source of happiness in our family. Your communication has always had within it wisdom and laughter. As you enter into the next chapter of your life, may God lead you to the right friends. May you excel academically. May your next 4 years be ones of delight, fun, laughter, and may God give you wisdom to follow Him in every decision that you take. I think parents would be wise to write out blessings and read them to their children at weddings. Four times in particular, notice this. It was recorded that blessings took place before someone left this earth. In Genesis 27, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau before he died. In Genesis 48 and 49, Jacob blessed his sons and grandsons before he died. Deuteronomy 33, 1 says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And get this, in Luke 24, 50 and 51, Jesus led his disciples out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The very last thing Jesus did on this earth was bless His disciples. I remember my mother-in-law, with 2 days left to live, calling for me to come to the hospital in Springfield to see her. First, she apologized to me for something. I told her it wasn't any big deal. She praised me and blessed me. She said, "You've been a good son-in-law. Really, you're like a son to me. You've done a good job as a husband and a father, and I'm proud of you, and I know you're going to keep doing a good job." She blessed each of the children. We talked to them yesterday. I wrote down their my wife wrote down their testimonies. Dawn said this. Nana thanked her for all the things she had done for her. Encouraged her to take care of her beautiful children. She told her, "Now this is a grandmother dying. Dawn, don't forget you've got a wonderful husband. And when troubles come, remember what a wonderful man he is. And when you're tempted to argue, kill him with kindness instead of saying things you'll regret later." And Dawn said, "I think of that all the time." What the blessing is, spoken words with a touch, including the name of the Lord, often publicly. Why it is important? Because of the power of words. The power, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How should you give it? Who to give it to? To whom to give it? When to give it? And what happens if the blessing isn't given? In Genesis 27, Jacob deceived his father Isaac and got his brother's blessing. When Esau came in and found out what happened, the Bible says he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Then Esau hated Jacob and started plotting to kill his own brother. By the way, Jacob and Esau were 40 years old in that chapter, and their father was 137. You never get too old to give the blessing or to receive the blessing. Children who haven't received the blessing from dad and mom never cease to hunger for it. One of the most heartrending cries in the world is the cry of a son or a daughter who says, "I can't please my dad no matter what I do." Every child deserves to be blessed. And there is some blessing you can give to any child, any age, any time. Parents, do not use the withholding of the blessing as a means of punishing a child. A child shouldn't have to be like you to get the blessing. A child shouldn't have to look like you to get the blessing. A child shouldn't have to like what you like in order to get the blessing. In Genesis 26, Esau had married wrong. He was a man of the flesh. He was a carnal, profane man. The blessing for the firstborn was still meant to be given to him, but it was gone. But his father still blessed him. In Genesis 49:28, Jacob blessed every one of his sons. He had sons who were deceitful, treacherous, and immoral. He blessed them all. Evangelist Bill Glass may have the largest evangelistic prison ministry in the world. He has seen more than 50,000 inmates pray to receive Christ, and he visits hundreds of prisons every year. He said, "I would say there are many extenuating circumstances that cause crime, but there's one thing that is always true. They always have a father problem. The father's blessing has altogether to do with how a person turns out in life." A former National Football League player with the Cleveland Browns, Glass noted that during a recent visit to a prison, all of the 44 men on death row with whom he spoke said they hate their father. Parents, he said, can do all the right things, but failing to bless their children will mean that the children either won't make it, may live up to hate their parents, or may grow up weird and twisted on the inside. Glass said it's the father's job to make the child feel they belong. There is a bubble of emptiness that appears in the soul of every boy or girl before the age of 6 or 7 if they do not hear "well done" from the parent. Glass' own father passed away many years ago, but he said he has a substitute father who has modeled the blessing of a father to him as the child. What happens when people don't get the blessing? Listen to me. They begin to look for it anywhere they can find it. They'll smoke or drink or tattoo their bodies or join a gang so somebody will accept them, so they will fit in with somebody. Girls will expose parts of their body that ought to be covered. Why? They are saying, notice me, look at me, somebody accept me. There have been women who have given themselves to man after man after man after man. Why? Will you notice me? Will you give me some attention? Do you think I'm pretty? Michael Jackson said in an interview, I've had these face surgeries, the nose surgeries, the pigment lightened up in my face, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to look one thing like my father. And the article went on to point out that his dad had always said to him, you're going to turn out to be gay. You're not a boy, you're a girl. What's the problem with Michael Jackson today? He never got the blessing. And many of the people who follow him and his music are people who are just looking for somebody to give him the blessing. Years ago, I heard Dr. Jack Howells tell how his dad was a drunk, left his mother, hated church and preachers, said they were all lazy. At a watch night service, Jack Howells, as a young man, surrendered to preach. He wanted to tell his dad what happened. He found his dad, Athey Howells, inside a bar in downtown Dallas, Texas. He said, Dad, I got some good news to tell you. Can you come outside so I can talk to you? His dad came outside and Jack Howells looked at him and said, Dad, God's called me to preach and I'm going to be a preacher. His dad heard that, spun around and came back and punched his son in the stomach. Then punched him again. I heard this story with my own ears and I double-checked the biography last night. Punched him again till he fell to the pavement. Then he started kicking his son, kicking his boy. Over and over he kicked him and cursed him. How dare you be a preacher? I can't believe my son's going to be a blankety blank blank preacher. A crowd gathered around. Jack staggered to his feet and started to walk away and his father called after him. If you're going to be a blankety blank money grabbing blankety blank preacher, why don't you just go build the biggest church in the world? 20 years later, 1970, Elmer Towns came to First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, and presented Jack Howells with a plaque announcing the church as the world's largest Sunday school. Don't miss this. Jack Howells took that plaque, ran into his office, fell on his knees, put the plaque on the floor, and cried out, Hey, Dad! I did it! I did it! You told me to build the biggest church in the world. I did it for you, Daddy. Jack Howells, master preacher, servant of God, wise counselor, counseled us on the building of this church building. I spent hours with him one night. Great church builder, was still a little boy in his heart craving the blessing of a daddy already dead. He was craving the blessing from a daddy who would never give it to him. Dad and Mom, do not live and die and not give your son, your daughter, that which God made you, put you on earth, and gave them to you for you to give them. Give your son, give your daughter the blessing. May I say to you as I close, you're too special to God to die and go to hell. God didn't make you for that purpose. According to Revelation 4:11, you weren't made for Satan's pleasure, but for God's pleasure. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there is a Father who will bless you this morning if you will let Him. Some lost soul here today may need to cry out and say, Bless me, even me also, O my Father. God, touch me. God, talk to me. He will, if you'll only let Him do so. Would you bow with me, please?